Take your Bibles and let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, and our text is just going to be verse 17. That's where we're focusing on this morning. Now, let's remember what Paul has revealed to us, brethren, in the gospel, that our justification, the justification of you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, is Christ himself. And the faith which God has given you is that light, the light of Christ, whereby we see and behold what our God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's justified you. He declares you are righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, who went to the cross as our mediator, as our surety, as our sacrifice to put away our sins and to make us righteous, justified before God. And the opposite of that, what Paul declares, is we're not made righteous by the works of the law. Christ cancels out the law for us. We've been justified before the law. The law has nothing more to say to us. And so when professed believers, when there come some who profess that we're justified by the law, that we're made righteous by the law, that there's some kind of combination between Christ and the law, or all of Christ, or all of the law, and they try to harmonize those two, that's a lie. That's deceitful. That's not the gospel. That's not what the Lord declares in the gospel. And so we don't blend them together. We don't look to the law for righteousness. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way in verse 16, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. This knowing that we have is the light of Christ making this known to us. He reveals this to us. Man's not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And as we're looking at the law here, as we're going through this study, remember that the Lord in his word never makes a distinction between the moral law and the ceremonial law or the civil law. He just refers to them as the law. We as men make a distinction in their minds, in their own brains. They come up with a distinction and like to talk about the ceremonial parts of the law and the moral parts of the law and the civil law. But God never does that. He doesn't make that distinction for us. And so, believers, you that believe Christ and trust him for all your righteousness, you're not under the law after the manner of Moses. That encompasses all the ceremony, the civil, the moral. You're not under the law after the manner of Moses. In any way, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure righteousness. We have a more sure justification of our God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I've titled today's message, A More Sure Righteousness. A More Sure Righteousness. So let's take this back to what Paul has been addressing for us. Using his language, right? We'll look at the language he uses. It's actually not even his language, but he uses language to describe two kinds of people here. He speaks of Jews, and then he speaks of sinners of the Gentiles. Jews, and then sinners of the Gentiles. Look at verse 15. He says, we who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, what Paul is saying here, well, he's not saying that sinners are, Gentiles are sinners and we Jews are not sinners. That's not what he's saying. He's using the language of the Judaizers. This is their argument. And this is how they saw the Gentile believers who did not submit to the law, to a righteousness by the law. They looked at those Gentile believers who were looking to Christ and trusting in Christ only, and they said that these people are not submitting themselves to the law after the manner of Moses. They have a gap. They've got problems. They're not righteous before God. And Barnabas and Peter, they were, by their actions, they were adding to what these Judaizers were saying, that the Gentiles are transgressors of the law against God. And by their actions, when they broke fellowship with the Gentiles at mealtime, when they stopped eating with them, they were saying, yeah, there's a problem there. You're a step below at best, if not altogether deficient of righteousness. And so what they're saying there by their actions is faith in Christ alone is not sufficient to save. It's not a sufficient righteousness. You've got holes in your garment. You've got big gaps before God, and God's going to judge you. That's how they were looking at it. And so the legalists were the ones that were saying, these are sinners of the Gentile sinners. They're sinners. They're transgressors of the law. They've got a big gap to make up under the law after the manner of Moses. And so they're saying Christ alone is not sufficient for your justification. It's not sufficient for righteousness. And so if the believer, the one who trusts Christ, is not circumcised after the manner of Moses, they're saying he cannot be saved. He can't be saved. And so, in other words, if we don't try to keep the law, this is what the Judaizers are saying, the legalists. If we don't try to keep the law, then we're a sinner. We're a transgressor of that law. We're transgressors against God's law. But if you look in any aspect of the law for righteousness, whether it's circumcision, whether it's the Ten Commandments, whether you just have certain parts of the law that you like to follow, if you look to the law for righteousness on any part, you're on the hook for keeping the whole thing. You've now submitted yourself, you put your neck under the yoke of the law, the whole of it for righteousness. All of it. Look over at Galatians 3, verse 10. Galatians 3:10. Paul said, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Drop down to verse 12. Galatians 3:12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now, the Gentiles who believed Christ, those Gentiles who professed the Lord Jesus Christ, the majority of them, unless they were proselytes, the majority of them were never under the law to Moses. They were never under that law to Moses. They were there practicing their idolatry, bowing down before a stump, or looking to some idol covered in gold or silver. And then Paul comes into their city one day, and he begins to preach the truth. And they're listening to what he said. And they heard the gospel. And there were some that believed without ever coming under the law of Moses. You look at Mars Hill, right? When Paul was up there preaching on Mars Hill, he never pointed them to the law. He pointed them to the risen Christ. He pointed them to Christ. And many rejected it and said, that's nonsense. Some said, we'll hear you again later. But there was a few there that clave unto Paul. They clung to Paul. They said, we want to hear more. We want to go with you and hear more of this salvation, of this Savior that you preach. And so those Gentile believers were never under the law. we can see an example of what Paul preached. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, the first two verses, I believe this is true of all the churches, all the Gentile churches that Paul went to, including Galatia. Well, here in Corinth, he said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. I didn't come as a philosopher declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And so that's what Paul preached to the Gentile churches. That's what he preached to the Gentiles in the city who became Gentile churches without ever coming under the law of Moses. What a blessing. What a blessing that is, that they were never bound with that confusion and that darkness and that futility and vanity of trying to work a righteousness for yourselves by the law of Moses. And they knew some sense of it in idolatry and the foolish things they did there, but not under the after the manner of Moses. And just as Paul preached the gospel faithfully to the Gentiles, so did Peter. Peter, when you look at what Peter testified in Acts 15, verses 8 and 9, Peter had gone into the house of Cornelius the Gentile, loaded with a bunch of other Gentiles, and here he is, a Jew, who goes into the house of a Gentile, an unclean lawbreaker, and he enters his house. That's why the Jews met him on the way back, because they didn't like that he went into... Did we hear right that you went into a Gentile's house, Peter? What are you thinking? And Peter testified, "Well, God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. He poured out the Holy Ghost on them under the preaching of the gospel, and he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, apart from the law." They never came under the law. He purified their hearts by faith. And so, even our faith, the faith of a believer, can't even be called a work of our flesh. We can't even boast of our faith. Faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And that's what our Lord gives us. He gives us faith. So there's no work that this flesh brings forth that has any part in salvation. All the fruits of righteousness born in us, we give thanks unto God. We bow before him and cast every one of those crowns before him and say, "Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy, because this is your fruit. This is what you've borne in me, a filthy, vile, unworthy sinner. But by your love and grace and mercy shown to me in Christ, Lord, thank you. What can I say, Lord? It's all of your grace. Praise your name, Lord." And so the child of God believes in Christ, trusting the faith of Christ. When it speaks of the faith of Christ, we're talking about that bloody sacrifice that our Lord gave of himself unto the Father, unto God, to make an atonement for our sins, to in order for God to forgive you of all your sins, of all your crimes, of all your trespasses, of all the filthy things and shameful things that we've done in this life. All of those things are put away before God. God doesn't see them anymore. Christ has put them away, and you're covered in his blood and robed in his righteousness. And so we're justified by Christ's sacrifice for us. And we hear that word, and by the grace of God, we trust him. We believe him. We say, "Lord, yes, that is my righteousness. I have nothing else but the blood and the righteousness of your son, Jesus Christ. You've given him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing all this work." And by God's grace in Christ, we're accepted into the beloved family of God. We're made partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light. That's what you have to look forward to. You have it now, and you have it more gloriously coming. You'll see it more. You'll see it with greater sight in that day. And look forward to that day, brethren, and rejoice in him. Let your heart just be glad in what the Lord has done for you in his Son. And so this is what Paul has been declaring in Galatians 2. Let's look at verse 16 again. This faith of Christ, this sacrifice of Christ, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He's justified by the bloody sacrifice of Christ as our surety, as the one who came and paid the debt in full. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Even we have been given faith in the Spirit, whereby we trust in the sufficiency of the blood sacrifice of Christ, that his blood is sufficient for even me. For even me, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, justified by the bloody sacrifice of the Lamb of God, whom he sent as a propitiation to turn away his wrath from you that believe on his Son. And it's not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Those who come to the Father, having a righteousness of their own, professing to believe on Christ, but looking to the law for righteousness, those who profess to be righteous by that way, the Lord's going to look on them and say, you've colored outside the lines. You've gone outside the lines. Friend, where is thy wedding garment? How did you come in here? Where's thy wedding garment? And so the Gentile believers, they had no need of the law. They had no need of the law. For that cause, the Judaizers viewed them. They said, these Gentiles, they're sinners before God. They're yet breaking the law. When they would go to services, they look at those Gentiles and feel pity for them. They'd feel pity for them. Look at them and say, so close, yet there's a big gap. They still got problems. They got problems. It's the same way that we and our stuck-up selves in religion, before the Lord had mercy on us, how we would look at other sinners and think that we were something. And all we were kidding ourselves. We were legalists, just like these, trusting in our knowledge of things and our way of doing things. And we had pity on others, just like these legalizers, these Judaizers, pity the Gentiles. And so they wouldn't even eat with them. And they figured those Gentiles open in Christ, boy, they're going to have a rude awakening when they stand before God in the day of judgment. They're going to have a big, big moment of truth there. God's going to say, you're not righteous. You've not done enough. You're insufficient. But the truth is, they're the ones that are going to get the big awakening in that day, who are trusting in their own righteousness. When the Lord says, where's your wedding garment? You're standing before me naked, trusting in your own righteousness. So the believer knows, as it says in Galatians 6:15, that in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. But a new creature. And that's our hope. Because in Christ Jesus, he's made his people a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, it's all new. It's all of Christ. We don't look back to the Old Testament. To the Old Covenant, rather. We don't look back to the Old Covenant. We rejoice in the new covenant of grace that's been declared in the Old Testament by the prophets and the law and the Psalms and all them that love the Lord. They testified of what God is doing in his Son, the purpose of his grace in Jesus Christ. And so to the legalists back then and now, the Gentile believers, they look at them and say, they're antinomians. They're without law. They're lawbreakers. They're against the law. No, we're not. We're not without law. We're under the law of liberty, under the law of faith, under the law of Christ, whereby in him we are justified and righteous. And he keeps us, and he teaches us, and he fills us with his Spirit, and he corrects us. He's gracious, and he's powerful. If Christ can't keep us, the law certainly isn't going to keep us because of this filthy flesh. So now, with that understanding, we're set up to better understand what Paul means in verse 17. So let's give that a read here. Galatians 2:17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid, or may it never be. Now, Paul and Barnabas and Peter, these were believing Jews. They trusted Christ, and they know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. They know this. And this is what Paul had fought so hard against when he went to Jerusalem, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you, brethren, that it wouldn't be polluted and foul right from the beginning. He fought hard against this for your sakes, for our benefit, that we would know the truth of the gospel and rejoice in Christ this day, being thankful for what the Lord has done and shown us by his light and grace in his Son. And so, if Christ has fulfilled the law, and he's satisfied the just wrath of God by a sacrifice, and we're one with Christ, then we've fulfilled the law. And the law is satisfied with us. And the just wrath of God is satisfied with us. The law is nothing more to save you. You're dead to the law. Any requirement it had has been met in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's met in you who are one with Christ. And we know that oneness, that union by the faith which he's given us. We see it, we behold it. It's like a light shining in our hearts, and we now know, oh Lord, you've done it all. You've provided everything in your Son. You're not looking to me for anything else. You look to your Son, who's my surety, my all, my salvation. And so we're dead to that law, and the work of redemption by our Savior, he accomplished everything necessary. And so we rejoice. We give him all the glory, all the praise, all the honor for his salvation. And believers who are one with Christ enjoy it by faith. He gets all the glory, and we enjoy it by faith in him. We're just rejoicing. We're made happy and thankful. A thankful people when we see it, right? When we see it and remember what the Lord's done, we're made thankful. And we rejoice in him. And all that cloudiness and misery, it all gets put into perspective. Scattered and put away, and all our woes and troubles and anxieties and fears all just fall right into place before the throne of our sovereign God. We're thankful for him. And so, who really is the sinner against the law? Who's the lawbreaker here? Who's the one breaking the law? Is it the Gentile believer who's already satisfied the law and fulfilled everything that the law required in Christ? Are we the lawbreakers here? We're not even under the law in Christ. Or is it the legalist? That legalist who's still looking to the law for righteousness, knowing that there's no way you're going to keep it perfectly. You might do a lot of things and think you do a lot of things well, but there is no way that you're keeping it perfectly. And the law demands perfect obedience, right? Perfect obedience. So we're not going to do it. We're not going to keep it. But if we who believe Christ... Let's understand what Paul's saying here. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Well, first, what Paul is showing us here is the inability to blend grace and the law. If we who believe Christ also turn over to the law, start looking to the law for righteousness, then we are sinning against God. Now we've made ourselves transgressors against the law. Look over at Galatians 5:4. Paul tells us what has become of us. In Galatians 5:4, he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Whether you're justified by the law in part or whole, you've fallen from grace, he's saying. All right, now as far as the Judaizers are concerned, Again, the Gentile believers, they're sinners, they're transgressors. And so Paul is using the term or the logic that these Judaizers were using against believing Gentiles, those who trusted Christ alone, those who confessed that his blood is sufficient. There's nothing more I need. His blood is sufficient for me. And what he's saying is, that makes me lawless in the eyes of the legalist. If that's the burden I have to bear, then let me bear it. Lord, help me to bear it. If I'm now called an antinomian or a legalist in the eyes, I mean, an antinomian or a lawbreaker in the eyes of the legalist, then so be it, he says. I'll be one of the sinners of the Gentiles then. Count me among them. Put me with them who are trusting Christ alone. If that's what it takes, then that's where we're going, because that's how the Lord saves his people, in and by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's how we're justified, and that's what the gospel declares, then become one of these sinners of the Gentiles. Not practicing sin, but trusting Christ alone. If that makes me a lawbreaker, then in your eyes, and that's what I am. I'm a lawbreaker then. And Paul bore that. He bore that the truth of the gospel would continue with you, brethren, to this day. He bore that. He said, all right, if you want to hate me and despise me, stone me, try to kill me, try to ruin me, try to follow me all around wherever I preach the gospel, to come behind me and wreck it, fine, I'll take that. I'll bear that for my brethren, because they need Christ, and Christ only is our salvation. I've got to preach Christ. I've got to preach the cross. That's what he testifies in all of his words. You know, so any Jews who were looking to Christ alone and turned their back on the law for righteousness, and they wanted no part of the law for righteousness, they're living like the Gentiles, like the sinners of the Gentiles. That's what they're doing. They're no different than those sinners of the Gentiles. Look at Galatians 2:14. Galatians 2:14. But when I saw, right, he's addressing what he said to Peter. But when I saw that they, Peter and Barnabas, walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, one who's not under the law, and not as do the Jews who live under the law, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Why are you teaching them that they need to go under the law when you yourself live by faith? You yourself trusted Christ for all your righteousness. Why are you teaching them, these Gentiles, to go under the law? You're not walking right, Peter. He's saying we've turned to Christ for righteousness. Our part is with these sinners, these Gentiles who are sinners, according to the legalists. We live just like them. We trust Christ for all our righteousness, just like them. And so the Apostle Paul was given grace to bear that for the elect's sake, that the truth of the gospel might continue with us to this day. You that believe in Christ, that is the pure gospel. That's the grace of God in Christ. And that's what Paul is saying in his other epistles. You turn over to Philippians 3, we'll see this. In Philippians 3, verses 8 through 10, well, you could read all of it, but it's because it's so good. But we'll read just verses 8 through 10. Paul says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things, all my living under the law, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. People hate me. My own family despises me and rejects me, he says. But I count that all dung, all my works, everything I gained under the law, it's dung. It's refuse. It's worthless, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, the wedding garment that the saints of God wear in that day, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He bore that. He bore that despising of his own countrymen who hated him and looked to kill him, that the truth of the gospel would continue with us to this day. So does trusting Christ alone for righteousness then make Christ the minister of sin? Is that if Christ is the one saying, look to me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Or look to me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else. Does that make Christ the minister of sin then? Since you call his people sinners and antinomians and lawbreakers. Look at verse 17 again. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, sinners of the Gentiles, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Because he says, look to me, trust me for all your righteousness, believe me, I'm sufficient, I'm your all, trust me. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. God forbid, he says. The legalist says, yeah, it does. That Christ that you're preaching is a minister of sin, according to the legalist. But Paul says, no, no, God forbid, may it never be. That's what the Greek really is, let it never be, or may it never be. May it never be. That's just no way. Not at all. That's nonsense that you're talking there. So the legalist may charge us with sin and make the Christ of this blessed covenant of grace to be a minister of sin, but the reality is, God receives you in Christ. He is all your righteousness. He is our very sufficiency to stand before the throne of God faultless in that day. Faultless. Rejoice. 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 Praise your God. Rejoice. And so our God demands absolute perfection, and it's all provided in his Son. Our Lord said in John 8:24, he said, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, that I am Christ the Savior, who saves his people to the uttermost, I've been sent by the Father to do this very thing. If you don't believe in me, that I'm all your righteousness, that the Christ sent of God to provide salvation for God's people, his chosen people, then you're going to perish in your sins. You're going to die in your sins and stand before God in a garment full of holes, exposing your nakedness before all. And so those Jews, they rejected Christ because they were still trusting their own righteousness by the law. And that was carrying forward by the Judaizers who professed to believe Christ, but they still looked back to the law. Now, Paul says it this way, very similar, where Christ said, ye shall die in your sins. Listen to how Paul says it in Romans 8, verse 13. He says, if ye live after the flesh, if you're trying to work a righteousness by the law, that's living after the flesh. If you're trying to work a righteousness by the works of the law, ye shall die. You're going to die in your sins, just like Christ said. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Ye shall live. Because it's only by the Lord Jesus Christ that the deeds of the body are put to death. Especially that vain, false confidence that we have by nature that trusts in our law-keeping. Especially that. He puts that away. And he's our righteousness. He's our salvation. So, when John the Baptist, when he saw Christ coming to him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He takes it away. He preached Christ. He preached Christ. Believe that Christ. Believe him. Believe on him. Because he is all your righteousness, all your acceptance, all that you need to stand before holy God, faultless before his throne. We do well to hear this one, this Savior who's done everything for his people. Believe in Christ. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so the only defense, brethren, that you have against the law is to not be under it, for it to have nothing to say to you. That's the best defense, is that it doesn't apply to you at all. And that's only true of those for whom Christ gave himself, gave his life. For those for whom Christ died, you that believe on him, because that's how we know that we're his. We believe on him. That's not a faith, isn't of the flesh. It's the gift of God. So you that trust him for all your righteousness, no, God's given me this. I don't love what I see in my flesh, but I love his Savior. I love my Lord. I love him. Lord, help me. Keep me from wandering away, because you alone are salvation. And so we're delivered in Christ from the judgment of the law, because we stand complete in Christ. It's all been fulfilled by him. It's all accomplished by him. Isn't he a glorious Savior? He's wonderful. He's wonderful. All right, I'll close with Romans 6, verses 14 and 15, where he says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. He's moved you from the law, where sin had dominion over us, and held something over us, but he's put us under grace, under the grace of Christ. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. May it never be. Our Lord keeps us. He teaches us. He's put away our sins. His grace is sufficient, and he does keep his people and teach his people walking by faith in him. When we see our sin, we cry out, Lord, have mercy and deliver me from this. Keep me, Lord. Keep me. All right, brethren, I'm going to stop right there. Pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts. Okay, let's close in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for this glorious sight of Christ, to behold that we stand complete in him, and that we want nothing more. Lord, keep us from ever turning back and looking back to the law for a righteousness. Lord, deliver us from that sin, that evil. Lord, we want to be found perfect in Christ, not having our own righteousness, but that righteousness which you provided fully, freely, and abundantly in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. He's such a precious Savior. He's so glorious, so wonderful. Lord, our words fail to express it fully and sufficiently how deserving our God is for all his salvation provided in the Son. Lord, you're wonderful. You're glorious. Thank you. Keep us ever seeing your glory and being thankful for it. It's in Christ's name we pray and give thanks. Amen.